Hello and welcome to the Real to Rank podcast, the podcast that ranks your favorite film franchises one movie at a time. I'm Devin Spector. With me, as always, is my brother Dayton.
Hey, howdy, hey everybody.
And today, last one, we last stand.
We're making we had a stand.
We had a bunch of stands before, and this is the last one.
We get a stand at the beginning of this movie, and we're making it. Or it's last time we're standing around.
And then wheelchair.
Yeah.
No more stands. It's the X-Men, Last Stand. Directed, there is 06. Directed by, I didn't catch.
Brett Ratner.
Thank you.
Written by Simon Kinberg, who we last, I think the last time we had a Simon Kinberg film on our docket was Fantastic. He is a writer who's been on all of, I think on most of all the later Fox, Marvel stuff. His name's been around there for a long time.
So you know we're in good hands.
Eh, you know.
No, I didn't. I'm going to just put this right out on Front Street. I did not like this movie. I thought it was I thought it was bad. I mean, entertaining. Like, don't get me wrong. It's not a slog to sit through or anything, but it's not good.
No, I mean it's enjoyable. I had a great time watching it. I had a lot of fun. It you know, it fucking at the very least it moves.
Thank
God. Like it just, you know, shit happens. I don't even care if it doesn't make sense. It just moves.
It moves in the way that like a dream moves.
That kind of. I mean it just like it has momentum. That's what I like about it.
Well, once the movie gets started, it really cannot be stopped.
Yeah, it's like the Juggernaut, bitch.
It's the Juggernaut, bitch. Yeah, I'm not gonna say it's the worst movie, you know, or anything like that. I just don't think it's nearly as good as the other two, which are much more solid strips.
I like, I'll put my ranking on Front Street. Like, I like X1, or not X1, I like X2 more than this one, but I like this more than X1.
Hmm, interesting.
Because X1 is just a boring fucking movie.
I don't think it's boring. It's just setting up a lot of stuff. I liked it. The blobby boy senator.
Yeah, he's fine. It's just flat. It's like soda that's been left out on the table overnight.
I thought it was a very solid, well-moving movie for its time. I thought this was just trying to throw everything at it. It was just throwing.
I kind of appreciated that. I really did, because, you know, at this point, we've lost the reins on all this shit, so, you know, might
yeah,
as well.
it's combining multiple storylines all at once, and to results.
Well, you know.
Yeah. You want to just jump right in?
Yeah.
I could talk about it for a while and will, but I think I'll just point out our stuff. Our movie begins with a horrific vision of Magneto and Professor X.
This was actually, I remember them talking a lot about this, because this was a big deal when they did this, because I think this is one of the first movies that tried the de-aged technology. You know, and honestly, like, they look a bit like waxy people, but for the time, like, you know, they're fine.
Yeah, no, it's they look like they look like Madame Tussaud wax figures come to life.
But I mean, like, even still, like, you gotta like, it's not all gonna be perfect all the time. You gotta build on stuff, you know.
No,
I didn't mind it. Like I've seen ones that they've done more recently that look so much worse.
Yeah, that's true. They wisely don't. You know,
well, it's like for
this
2 minutes. Like, it's like a 2 minute bit. It doesn't do it for very long. And I like the fact that, so we open on the Gray household, fucking Professor X and Magneto, long before they have broken up the band and gone their separate ways, and before Charles lost the use of his walking legs. They go to the Gray house, and you know, they're
surprisingly blue.
Yeah, go figure. to see one Jean Grey. And she's apparently the most powerful mutant that they've ever
she's
encountered.
She's a class 5.
Yeah, she's like a hurricane. She's class 5.
They start bandying that around everywhere, and I'm like, mm-hmm. Did they come up with a whole, like, Fujita scale of mutants that we never figured out?
I mean, don't they do that in the comics, though? Aren't there, like, Omega-level mutants or something?
There are. It's just weird when everyone starts talking about it if it's never been set up before, and they're talking about it as though it's a thing that everyone knows. Like,
yeah. I mean, I don't know. That's just a minor thing, though, because these movies always introduce new shit. Who knows? That could have just been started in the last few years where they started really trying to classify. And I think the only person, well, not the only person, that Callisto lady is, like, the first one who mentions it.
She mentions it. Other people.
Other people bring it up, but she's the first one who's, like, there's, like, a class. There's everyone here is, like, class. We'll get to it, but she's, like she classifies everybody.
Yeah. But yes, Jean is the only class 5. She's a category 5 Jean Grey, and she lifts some cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got a nice cameo. We get to see Stan Lee, but also the man mowing his lawn. I don't know if you recognize him. That's Chris Claremont.
Oh, hey, there you go.
Famous writer of the X-Men and big fan of that continuity.
The Claremont coefficient creator of open plot threads at any given time.
Yeah.
Because the movie has to do a bit of backpedaling here, or I guess it'd be
how's it backpedaling? Like we literally see the Phoenix at the end of the first
one. We do,
one.
But like, it's like, oh, well, she put up a whole bunch of psychic barriers. She was, you know, always super powerful, and the psychic barriers that she put up was to stop the pure id of the Phoenix.
Yeah. So,
as opposed to like before, where she could not do that,
it's just that's just movie making, Devin. This is a sequel. that's like that's not nearly as bad.
I'm sorry, I didn't know I'd run into Dayton X-Men Last Stand apologist.
Well, I just think you're being a bit nitpicky. Like this is like you're combing for shit. Like this is all minor quibbles.
I mean, you know, aside from the fact that the plot just happens and no one has any stakes in anything, I suppose. Yeah, I mean, if we take all that out of it,
I mean, there's stakes.
There's not there's not stakes because they're like, oh, we have a cure for the mutant gene. It suppresses your mutant powers, and everyone gets up into a fucking tizzy about it, even though no one is forcing anyone to take this drug.
No. But, I mean, what happens is Magneto whips everybody up into a fury.
And then they all start going into a fucking camp out in the back of beyond.
Yeah, up in Canada or wherever.
Yeah, out in wherever. He has a predetermined spot.
Yeah, it's in the wilderness outside of San Francisco. Kind of like where they went in Venom.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly there. It's the wooded areas outside of San Francisco where they'll go to Alcatraz and kill Leech. Is that Leech?
I don't fucking know. I don't give a fuck about the X-Men, Devin.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Whoever the fuck. Jimmy. I wrote him down as Jimmy.
And then that will do the plan, but, like, it just doesn't work.
Well, you need a conflict of some kind.
Yeah, but, like, it'd be a conflict if it was, like, the government's gonna make them do this, or make them lose all their powers by a law.
Mm-hmm.
Which would make more sense, but if it's an optional drug, it kind of makes everyone seem like they're overreacting.
I suppose.
But yeah, young Jean lifts up some cars, and we get we're 10 years later now, or with Angel.
Yeah, Angel's trying to cut off his wings in his dad's executive bathroom, I imagine. And
yeah, it's something. He's using all the implements, straight razor, cheese grater, it looked like, or nail file.
Yeah. Yeah. All the fixings for removing your wings. I did like that scene. That kid actor really sold that.
I did like the scene, because I thought that was a really well-done, like, thing. I don't like Angel in this movie at all.
Well, he's barely in it. He barely does anything. He's like Angel normally. He does fuck all.
But, like, he feels like he's shoehorned in because he never actually directly interacts with the plot.
Well, I think that is one thing with this one that they really kind of flubbed on, where there's just so many more people, you know? Like, we got so many X-Men, we got to give everybody a bit of their, you know, we want to give everybody a little bit of their own time or whatever.
Yeah, so well, just Angel, all of his scenes happen just in his self-contained little bubble until he goes to the X-Mansion, where, like, if you look at it the way that it's shot, it feels like they just added it in post. Like, they're like, we need to add in something. So Angel's just like, can I join the X-Men? And they're like, yeah, sure. And then he comes in,
he doesn't even go up. He's like, is this a safe spot for mutants? And then they're like, yeah. And then, yeah. And yeah, then he doesn't do it. Like, yeah, he's just kind of, I guess his thing is more just like, he just is another perspective on whether or not, because that would be an interesting thing if, like, they actually delved into the kind of ethical concerns about, like, and they tried to touch on it a bit about this whole cure, about whether it's better to, you know, be true to yourself and, like, you're fine as a mutant as you are, and then you got all the other people on the other side who are like, Rogue, I totally get why Rogue would want that fucking cure, because her power sucks. Like, yeah, that sucks.
Her power only makes sense in a universe with other superpowered people.
Yeah.
Like,
it sucks to be fucking Rogue. So I get why she would take the cure. I get why, you know, someone like Beast would be like, you know, some of us would really like to, you know, fit back in.
And that's the thing. And I wish they would have been able to, you know, have that and maybe have more conflict between X-Men members, but like, it's trying to do too many things. It's trying to do this like cure plot, it's trying to do the Phoenix not particularly well, also trying to balance all these things. It could have more time to do stuff like X2 goes into a lot of very fun, unique topics that only the X-Men can go into, and it feels like it has more time to breathe, while this movie has to like go
and it
does not have time for any of this, and it is rolling to the, like, continuing to go. But yeah, the opening scene with Angel is cool. I like that scene. I wish he was just more integrated into the actual story, because like I said, it feels like you could cut all the Angel stuff out, and nothing would be lost.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's a ton of fucking Sadclops gets it the worst in this one.
Cyclops feels like they have to explain why Cyclops is gone.
Oh, that poor sad-loving douche.
I know. He's just crying into his vanilla ice cream. No, but we're in the not-too-distant future.
Somewhere in time and space.
Apparently Terminator 2 Judgment Day out.
That's right. Yeah, the fucking X-Men are running around. I guess we're in the danger room, right? Finally, we get to see a bit of the danger room.
Yeah, and actually, this sequence, really fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
Iceman does stuff with the missiles. Kitty Pryde helps him out. Like,
yeah, they do the fastball special and stuff like that. That's actually, I think, another reason why I like this one a bit more, is that it actually feels like it's leaning into more comic booky stuff than the other two.
Yes. And that's why I said it stops it from being absolutely terrible. I just wish there was more structure behind everything.
Mm.
I feel like they stripped a lot of the stuff out. But yeah, the Danger Room scene is cool. Wolverine, for some reason, is just much more aggressive about, like, yeah, get the job done at any cost. And Storm is like, hey, we have to work as a team. This is a defensive exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Which is supposed to come back later, but, like, it doesn't, this has never been set up, or this conflict has never, I know it's a how sequels work, but it's, like, normally you take what you do in the other two movies, you don't give them, like, a whole thing later, and like, that's how, kind of build off of what characters already do.
I'm gonna remember this when we get to some movies in the future.
Oh yeah, it's like it's like if all of a sudden your brain protagonist hated being called Chicken, even though that had never happened previously.
There's one, yeah.
That is one.
I was thinking of other Marvel movies in the future, but continuing on. So they're in the danger room. They're being chased by a big fuck off robot. It's of course a Sentinel, but we don't really get a good visual. But
Wolverine cuts his head off.
He cuts the head off, but that's about it. We don't get to see the Sentinel in its full on Sentinel glory.
They tried. I
mean, they give it the head, you know.
Yeah, that's, hey, That's the
no,
kind
I mean
of
that's
stuff,
fine.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, like, I'm sure that was just a budget thing where it's like we can't afford to model an entire Sentinel, you know.
But yeah, they kill a Sentinel in the danger room. But yeah, Storm is like, you don't understand how teams work, Logan, and you know, that's yeah. Okay. It sets up the whole thing at the end where they work with teamwork.
Yeah,
kind of,
sort of. Yeah, I mean. X-Men aren't, throughout these three movies, I haven't really gotten the sense that the X-Men are really good at all at being, like, an actual team.
No,
they're like different, they're components,
off.
They're different components, you know, that do their own thing.
Well, yeah, and also the X-Men, like I said, has mostly been four people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Cyclops, though, never misses an opportunity to be mopey. It's been,
oh, well, you know, some
three. I mean, it was winter in Alkali Lake, and now it's summer. So,
I mean, who
three, 4 months?
Who knows? It's been long enough that Sadclops hasn't gotten over Jean yet.
Sadclops, yeah.
Just
he
moping around, looking disheveled.
Not everyone heals as fast as you.
Yeah.
He's drinking his Shirley Temples and he's getting sauced.
Mm-hmm. He's got like a Grizzly Adams looking beard and just hasn't showered in days.
You haven't seen the things that I've seen.
Yeah, and I can't see anything.
Yeah, is he just mopes around and eventually goes to Alkali Lake, which is our like I realized was in all of the movies.
Yeah, that's true. We always go to Alkali Lake.
At some point or another, all roads lead to Alkali Lake.
I think we go back there again later in future installments.
We almost certainly have to.
It's like the Alkali Lake's like the the Arkham Asylum of the X-Men world.
Rogue and Iceman have a little bit of a moment here, too, where Rogue's like, you know, I can't touch you. And Iceman's like, yeah, I know. I'm totally okay with that. I've never pushed for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just seems like a lot of characters were just, like, there because of... They didn't have them for... Like, because Rogue just kind of does this and then just fucks off for most of the movie.
Oh, like, yeah. She's also very much... You could cut her out, probably, and not lose much. But I get where she's coming from because she sees, like... Bobby and Kitty Pryde having a bit of a moment, and I can see where she's coming from because it's like, I can't really be physical, like I have to wear a whole body condom even if we want to cuddle, sort of
yeah.
thing, you and, know. And that's probably really fucking frustrating, like you
it,
know.
It is, yeah. No, I just wish there was more setup. Like I said, the movie kind of pares down everything to get to the hour 44, if that. Like, because with credits and everything.
Yeah.
And I just feel like you could... Some more. I don't know. Beast is here.
Yeah,
Kelsey Grammer
awesome.
Is greased. Beast, he's really good.
He's my favorite part of the whole thing.
He is inspired casting.
It really is. I am quite glad that it's not the last time we will see Kelsey Grammer.
When does he show up again?
I'll tell you after we're done recording.
Oh. I was like, wait, what?
Wait, do you want to know? Here.
Oh.
Yeah. There you go. Okay.
Never seen it. Classic.
Classic, yeah.
So, yeah, but they're talking that they've captured Mystique.
Mm-hmm.
They have a whole war room with, like, all of the... Is this all the cabinet departments? Because one of them's Bolivar Trask.
One of them's supposed
cool.
to be, like, Trask, yeah. I don't think it's the whole I think it's probably just, like, that's the X-Men universe's version of the Ready Room or the Situation Room.
Yeah, so. Well, I don't think it's the entire President's Cabinet. I don't know if the Department of the Interior, like...
Yeah, what would the fucking Secretary of Agriculture bring to this?
Secretary of Education's going to talk about the issues?
We need transportation here, Stat. How about the Secretary of the Interior?
Yeah. Parks Department. Let's go.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bolivar Trask is one of them, which is makes sense. He's the guy that invents the Sentinels.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see him
again. I don't
think
he's ever fully named as Trask, but they do reference him as Trask.
Yeah. they give him the last name Trask. Yeah. I don't know if he's Bolivar, but that is interesting because if he is related to the other Trask that we meet,
yeah,
that's something.
That'd be something. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the X-Men movies are they're interesting in terms of how their world works.
It works continuity. Best. And same with like you do in comic books, where it's just best not to think about it.
Don't care about it. Just pick it up when you pick it up and just roll with it.
Doesn't matter.
It really doesn't. All that matters is the story in front of you.
Yeah, the more that you try to unravel it, the more unhappy it'll make you.
Well, that's also just the problem with a lot of these, where it's like they're not, like the people that make these movies, they're not trying to, especially when this came out, like they're not trying to do stuff to connect it all together. All they're really concerned about is just like, let's pump out another movie.
We get a scene where Mystique is being interrogated by a that guy actor.
Yep, he's one of those that guys. I'm trying to remember what other thing, because I can see another scene that he's in another movie in my head, but I can't. Yeah, he's one of those that guys.
Yeah.
He's always the same kind of authority figure, often interrogating someone.
And Mystique does her own Mystique stuff, where she taunts him by mimicking Magneto, mimicking him, and then she does like a whole flip and like, I guess tries to do a breakout or something. I don't know really what her plan is.
I guess she just wants to just hurt the fucking humans that have her in captivity. Because it's not like they're, because it doesn't seem like the president or Hank McQuarrie or anybody is particularly concerned that she's going to make it far.
No, but they're like, oh, it's okay. We have a mobile prison. And we're just going to, just gonna Lex Express this dangerous criminal across God's across this glorious country.
Well, I guess the idea being that you don't want to have one spot where like Magneto could find them, right?
Yeah, but like, how does that all work?
Well, you put gas in the vehicle and then you drive it around.
Yeah, but how does it, but like, how do you do shift changes? How do the prisoners piss? Where do you feed them?
They're mutants. Who cares? Shove them in the back of the goddamn van. Wait till you get to the next stop. Get out. Switch around. Fuck it.
Also, you just like now if something happens or they get into a traffic jam, like they can escape anywhere. It's just a terrible means to try to house anybody.
Well, especially when you got somebody like the Juggernaut in there.
Yeah, you got like, yeah. And you got to say, Magneto gets a lot more Brotherhood members. The Juggernaut's one of them. He's awesome.
Multiple Man and Juggernaut are pretty cool. I did like, because, you know, they're really, well, Juggernaut specifically, he's right. The only thing I don't, like, I know it's like a big fake bodysuit, but I actually think it kind of works with what they're doing. The only thing I really don't like about Vinnie Jones's Juggernaut is the helmet. The helmet's not good.
And like, they try to explain it away, and it doesn't.
Well, and they don't even mention any, well, because of course they don't, because of course they're streamlining, but it's like, oh, Kane Marco, he's an unstoppable mutant, because Ultimate Juggernaut is a mutant.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the route that they're going with in this one.
Well, and honestly, Juggernaut's so much of an X-Men character that I don't really give a shit if they make him a mutant.
Oh, like, no, that's totally fine. I do like the fact that he, like, in terms of their villains, he's someone who isn't a mutant. Like, he's like a mystical threat, so it gives a little bit of variety to their rogues gallery. But I'm fine with them, you know, just streamlining it, making it so, yeah, he's a mutant.
Yeah, why not? Of course he is.
Well, it just fits better because when you're just suddenly like, he gets his powers from a magical amulet, so.
Yeah, he pledged himself to a god of destruction in another realm and is kind of like a warlock.
Yeah, essentially. Like a big destructive warlock. And he's also half-step-brothers with Professor X?
I think he's half-brothers.
Half-brothers, yes. I know they're related, but.
Yeah. The only ones that, because yeah, you said that was Callisto. I never got the people that Magneto meets besides Pyro. Like he meets the hedgehog guy,
Porcupine Boy, and I'll talk more when we get to that particular spot. But yeah, there's like a whole like Arc Light's mentioned. He says
Arc Light. Yeah, I knew that one. I did not pick up on the one that was super fast. I did not catch Callisto. Okay,
That's Danny Ramirez. Yeah.
Mm. And then Hedgehog Guy.
Like, he's also another one of those that guy actors. He's in a ton of stuff.
Yeah, I figured he looked like, and I could be wrong, but like, was he a bad guy in one of the Rush Hours?
I don't know. I can't remember. I like, the only thing that's popping in my head right now is that he, I think he was in either House or The Sopranos, because he's in, like, he's a patient in a mental ward.
Yeah,
something. I can't
but
remember.
It's, he is. The lamest Brotherhood member that has ever existed.
Well, that's the other problem, is like, so many of, like, so many of this army that Magneto recruits, like, yeah, they're supposed to be quote-unquote mutants, but they seem like they just, they're like football hooligans instead of mutants. Like, they just punch people, and
I just loved how casually at the end all of the X-Men are just clowning these fools that are supposed to, like, Magneto brought in an army of mutants who just have jumping powers, from what I can see.
They,
like,
a lot of these guys can jump, they can hit hard, and they don't die when they get shot or punched too bad. That's why they're pawns.
Yeah, just anyway, where were we? Oh yeah, Beast, the mobile prison. So they put her in a mobile prison. This will come up later.
Yeah,
Professor X is teaching mutant ethics.
Well, he's teaching ethics. I don't think he's teaching the mutant.
No, no. Because he doesn't teach, like, you know, right or wrong. He teaches about their powers. The someone who's, like, transcribing all of his words listed as Mutant Ethics 101 on the top of the... I did not pull that from nowhere. And I do like that we got some of the returning kids back, including Blinky Kid.
Yeah, Blinky Boy. I noticed that, too. He's like, thanks, whatever the fuck your name is. Because he talks to Moira McTaggart, and she's the one who brings up, like, I can't remember the specifics, but she's just, like, they have this brain-dead patient that they're keeping alive, and yada, yada, yada. And that's actually also interesting. I wish X-Men movies would delve into some of that stuff, where you could delve into, like, the actual ethics behind some stuff in superhero things. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like, how do you, I mean, like... If we, you know, I don't know. That's interesting to me.
Because it was like, where do we draw the line as psychics? At what point are we hurting? Or what, you know, when are we using our powers for evil? Because with some, the lines aren't immediately clear. You know, I mean, if you're Iceman, it's pretty obvious how to not use your power for evil. But, like, you know, well, if there's stuff that shouldn't be frozen, don't freeze it.
Yeah, please.
It's pretty lesson over, Bobby.
Yeah.
All right.
But if you're psychic, easy. Yeah.
Like, you know, what are you? At what point are you detecting someone's thoughts when you shouldn't be? That sort of thing.
Something that actually makes it the idea of a school for mutant kids really interesting.
Yeah.
That's kind of an angle with that I really like.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing that would be a really cool. Five issue miniseries,
even like a not a whole show, maybe like seasons of a show, but maybe like a season of a show. I that would be interesting.
You know, an X-Men TV show where you just follow the kids, like a Hellions kind of thing, would
be
kind of neat.
Wicked, yeah.
If you're looking for more shows, Disney,
they probably are considering it. I could see them considering it.
I think didn't they try to make one of those in the 90s though? Like
Mutant X was that show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was on the UPN.
Fox. Oh, okay. I thought it was, yeah.
It may be one of the fucking networks back in the day, yeah. Yep.
But yeah, and then Storm is causing it to be all bad weather outside, so Professor X has to go and talk to her. And, you know, says, yeah, I want you to take over for the school after I'm gone. And she's like, really, Professor? And he's like, yeah, I mean, Scott's all a mopey asshole, and
Scott's
Jean's dead.
But Scott, she's said, Professor X is like, not going to be here for long.
Scott's not long for this world.
You see, Scott's moving to Metropolis very soon.
Yeah, and he needs to be some sort of
he needs
obstacle
to, be
to Superman.
Yeah, he has to be a fucking... a lover's rival to Superman, but even not really, because they're totally cool with each other at the
end. Yeah, it's actually not
Yeah, he's actually like a really like pretty decent character overall.
Yeah, it could actually be written like a total asshole, but somehow isn't. And
yeah.
For more information, go listen to Superman,
Superman
Returns.
Returns, yeah.
We did it last
we did,
March.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah, I mean it's my I had said it there. It's still my favorite Superman movie.
But yeah, no, I had a chuckle at that line because it's not like there'd be many other people that would replace Professor X.
Yeah,
he's only has trained three kids that have become teachers. One of
them
died.
I do like how, like, when Beast shows up again and he mentions, like, it... Like, that's something that will also be cool if they brought in people who were like, oh, they were former X-Men. Like
and they
Beast
went on
was.
And did other stuff in their lives, because, yeah, that would be... Because, like, yeah, Beast goes on and becomes the Secretary of Mutant Affairs.
Yeah. You know, and so, like, yeah, they... Like, and he mentions when he wears his, like, X-jacket, he's like, oh, man, this was... tighter than I remember or whatever. So, you know, if they did stuff like that where they were like bringing some like, oh, these are the old guard kind of students, and then the ones who are the teachers are the ones who decided to stay to teach.
Yeah, well, because you imagine like there would be some that like there's a lot of kids in that school right now.
Yeah.
Not all of them will go on to teach.
Well, yeah, and also like as we saw in the beginning, Magneto and Professor X had been doing this for years, so you know, theoretically, like that, like I always thought it'd be neat if they did a thing where it was like that, and I think they did this in First Class, so I'm probably just riffing on something Matt Bond did, but I always thought it'd be neat as like an origin for the X-Men of like Magneto and Professor X to have like founded the team together, and then it's like there's a big split and one side becomes the X-Men and one side becomes the Brotherhood. But I think that's what happens at the end of First Class.
That's
right?
Pretty much First Class. Yeah,
yeah. Well, I just meant like with if you had people like Toad and Sabre, like the original brother, like, you know, and you were able to tell it in a way where it's like you could really see why the Brotherhood would be like, no, we're gonna follow Magneto. Because even though they do that at the end of First Class, I wish it was like,
yeah, because First Class is just Mystique that basically
pretty
fails.
Much. Well, he co-ops the Hellfire Club. That's what he does.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
I love that movie.
It is pretty
we'll
good.
Get there.
Eventually. Yeah, Storm, though, set to take over in the event that anything would happen to Professor X. But, I mean, he's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing's going to happen to him. He's not going to get dusted.
Nope. Years before an Infinity
gonna,
Gauntlet.
He's not going to explode into a big ball of meaty confetti.
But Beast visits the manor now.
Mm-hmm.
Or the, I guess it's a manor. It's a
yeah, it's
mansion.
The X-Mansion.
Yeah. Because he's going to unveil the news to them before they hear it on CNN in 30 seconds.
Yeah, he got there right before the news broke.
Like, oh yeah, there's a whole thing you can take and it'll stop you from having superpowers.
Yeah, it'll cure you of your mutation.
And yeah, some people are obviously like, well, it's not a disease, you can't be cured from it.
Mm-hmm.
To wit, I would say,
well, that's the whole thing about like being proud of who you are, though, and that like a functional thing of being an X-Men. Like,
well,
I'm an X-Men. I'm proud that I'm a mutant. Like, why should I? You know, that's something that I do like about it, and I could see why people would get all fucking, because, you know, human beings being what they are, get all uppity about shit, so.
But I just, I think that they could have explored, like,
yeah, they
I
could
wish...
have explored it better, but I think what the underlying thing is, like, it's Magneto stokes these fears to people of, like, oh, it's going to start out as voluntary, and then it's going to turn into, you have to. And then he, like, leads the... Well, he has Pyro fucking torch that one facility, so it just makes it, like, it's not... I think there's, like, grains of it in there to get by, but it's something that I wish was explored better. Because it would be something interesting if there were, like, there's a cure, and then there's people who are, like... You know, you get somebody like Rogue, who's like, this sucks, okay?
Yeah.
I want to fuck Bobby Drake, and I want to fuck him now. I want to get cured. And then you get people like Storm, who's like, what are you talking about? I'm a goddess of storms.
Yeah, well, it's easy for Storm. Like, that's the kind of thing where, like, I kind of wish they just cut the Phoenix stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I wish you'd either go full Phoenix movie or full this cure movie.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the movie really is hurt by the fact that it's trying to do both.
Yeah, it's one of those. we've seen, and not we not on this show, but we both have seen superhero movies and expressly looking at the Batman v Superman years later, which tries to cobble in so many different storylines but doesn't do any of them justice.
Or like a Spider-Man 3. Yeah. It has the same kind of issue, though I think Spider-Man 3 is more successful.
Well, Spider-Man 3 also just has, like, that movie has a lot more time to do stuff. Even though a lot of the stuff is, like, not great, but it has more time to explore things.
Yeah. Or Amazing Spider-Man 2 kind of has the same kind of problem, where you just, you throw everything in and it all kind of suffers.
And also, and a lot of the later superhero movies too, like putting the cart in front of the horse sort of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like you're in trying to in-build sequels, hoping that this will, like, oh, this will totally be a success because it has X-Men on it sort of thing.
And that's I think, what comes down to it for me. I just sort of, I think the other two movies have a much more focused kind of thing and make them more enjoyable, where this one feels like a too many cooks or too many ideas kind of thing.
Yeah.
That, I guess, that's the big thing I will take my takeaway from it. But yeah, there's the mutant drug. They're going to fix it. The Worthington Industries or Worthington, whomever, have made it.
Yeah. They're fucking somehow making a cure from this kid, Jimmy. And Jimmy has, I guess, an aura of, or a range of negating mutants' powers.
I believe this is Leech, and that's kind of what he does. He's kind of like the Haitian from Heroes.
Hmm. Right on.
So, yeah, I think that's who it is, because I think Leech is also bald.
I don't know.
But, what's interesting, too, is, or at least, because the Worthingtons are going to use it to cure Angel, mm-hmm. or Warren, depending on who you ask.
depending on what scene he's in.
Yeah. But it seemed like that was the first person they were going to use it on, and I was like...
But I don't think that's true, though, because it seemed like they had... You know, for all the shitty, like... I don't know. Because, like, it didn't seem like out-and-out evil maliciousness from Mr.
No.
Worthington's part. You know what I mean?
And that's more, too, because I also didn't get that either. I didn't get that he was like, my son's a freak and I need to cure him. He's like, I love my son,
I
want to
fix
him.
There was this traumatizing incident where my son was trying to cut these fucking wings off his back. You know, if I can help him, I'm going to, you know, help him.
And,
you know?
Yeah, but
and that's why I actually like the fact that he saved his dad at the end.
Yeah, he does. And it's like the only thing he does. And then he flies out of that battle. He's like, my people
need like,
me.
I'm useless. I don't even have a bazooka.
I'm the worst original X-Men.
I'm and one of the suckiest. Yeah.
He's so bad.
I will say, though, he has been used. Like, there is actually a really great, I think it's one of the Christmas episodes of X-Men Evolution uses Angel. And he's really good in that episode because they kind of do a... There's ways you can use him in stories and stuff. Like, I don't think he's an out-and-out, like, useless character. I just think that, you know, give him something... You know, it seems like other mutants have a little bit of backup powers, you know?
Yeah.
Angel just has wings. Well, I mean, Hawkman has a fucking mace, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, he's worse Hawkman.
Yeah. Hawkman rocks Angel. Yeah.
And, like, yeah, make him at least fly at, like, Mach 2 or something.
Yeah, or you could do like a thing where like the wings were actually a lot tougher. So like if people shot at him, he could like use the wings to deflect, or you know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah, like he's bulletproof, or he can cause the clouds to part and he gets light. Like, because it's all angel, like he radiates.
Yeah,
like or something like that. Because make him more like a literal.
Yeah.
Well, not like a literal biblical angel, because descriptions of those are fucked.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I think if you're talking about the Cthulhu-looking ones that I think you're talking about, those aren't the same as angels that you're thinking of, but entirely different thing. That would be neat. Ben Foster plays him this time around, and I actually think that's also very good casting for Angel. He looks like Angel.
He does.
He could have done good stuff with him. I think they could have done, like, if they gave him more, like, I don't know. I wonder if there's like a 2-hour cut of this somewhere, you know? I think because it feels like there's stuff missing too.
That's part of it, because like I said, it feels like Angel was just kind of thrown in because he never interacts directly with any of the characters.
Uh-huh.
Like, at all.
Yeah, his thing is just like a perspective on the Worthington Labs thing.
Yeah, but I feel like this is what makes it a little bit more frustrating to me, because I feel like there also is a good movie in here. If you peel back the layers or read, you know, do some things, I think you could do better.
Yeah.
That's my... Yeah. Okay, yeah, Magneto. I think we're at Magneto. Because there's a hearing where Beast is like, hey, we can't cure all the mutants. I think. I wrote down there's a hearing.
Oh, yeah, so there's like...
Oh, yeah, the people with death from Supernatural.
Yes, that's who I was about to say. I was like, oh, I hope Devin recognizes him. Because that's what I said. I was like, oh, my God, it's Death. He's also in Man of Steel. He's on the Kryptonian Law Council at the beginning.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's what it is. Where they're like, oh, we got to organize. We can't do this cure. And some people are like, hey, my biggest thing is that my mutant power is that I have a toad for a face. Mm-hmm. Can I just, like, not?
Can I please, like, how is this a useful power? Like, how is this fucking...
And, like, yeah, I definitely see where Magneto's coming from, where it's like, they're gonna mandate that we cure everybody. But I also, it'd be nice if there were people like, you know, there's a lot of them, like, Nightcrawler might be one. Mm-hmm. Or Blob Herman, who's just like, he's just a blob.
We'll see him eventually.
We do. I don't even know if he existed in 2006.
The Blob?
No, the Blob did. Blob Herman.
Who's Blob Herman?
Blob Herman is a X-Men who's just like, he has a skeleton on the inside, but he just looks like a big old amoeba. That's his mutant power.
What?
Yeah.
What? What?
Is it Glob? Blob Herman? It's something Herman.
Herman?
Yeah.
Like the monster?
Yeah.
But he's a blob.
Glob. Yes, Glob Herman.
Huh.
He's super fast.
I'm starting to think Scarlet Witch really had really knew what she was doing when she was like, no more mutants.
Yeah. Right?
Like, man, that has to suck for that guy.
He's apparently
isn't there
super
one who's
fast.
Like a chicken? Isn't there like a mutant boy who's just a chicken? Like he's just a human bird?
Yeah, like his name's Beak.
He's worse Angel by far.
Yeah, that's Beak.
Oh man, what a nightmare life for Beak.
There's a lot you gotta understand. We only ever see the good ones.
Well, yeah, we see the fucking ones that make it to the magazine covers of the, you know, X-Men magazine monthly, you know. We want all the cool, sexy mutants who can wear the outfits, you know, what we could have on commercials.
We get so many worse ones. But yeah, Magneto's there
with
Pyro.
Yep.
Who is given his own wrist-mounted flamethrower.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like in the comics, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, actually. A lot like the comics. I like bits and pieces, man. Bits and pieces are really good.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, we got to draw lines. Who's coming with me? And a super fast lady and whatever the hell Arclight does.
I don't know what Arclight does.
That it's ill-defined and quite possibly the worst featured X-Men we've ever seen. Yeah. He gets all fucking aggro as if he can do anything. He just shows up and like, what are you going to do about it? And he just porcupines out. And I'm like,
he's basically like a human pufferfish. He's like,
Pyro just looks at him. And I think he's a little impressed. Just like, I can control fire, dude. Mm-hmm.
Fire trumps porcupine every time.
Like, you know what happens to a porcupine that gets caught on fire? Same thing that happens to everything else.
Yeah.
Like, come on. But yeah, I guess they get picked up, and Mystique is still in a convoy, and she promises to kill the guard that's there.
Yep. Because she keeps switching into, like, the president and then a little girl and, yeah.
The little girl president.
Yeah.
I did have a, like, I was thinking there as she had her, like, her wrists were cuffed. Because she's basically, like, hanging by her wrists.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the slats on the door or whatever. My thought was, if you're a shapeshifter, couldn't you just get out of that?
Well, I wonder if, like, the cuffs actually adjust to her shapeshifting. Because she obviously, like, she's smaller when she's a little girl, but she's still, like, tied up. You know what I mean? She's still, like, so I wonder if they're just, like, adjusting to whatever form she's taking. Comic book movie science being what it is and all.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you can do whatever you want. But it's just, like, couldn't she just, like, shapeshift into someone with no arms?
Can she shapeshift? Is she just restricted to human shapeshifting? Can she shapeshift into, like, animals or something?
She has in the comics, but I don't know if she can in the movies.
Mm.
Because, yeah, like, just turned into, like
a fly, you know?
Yeah. Well, because apparently, you know, she can turn into anything, mass be damned.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, she creates her own mass.
So it's like, it's going to be really hard to hold her, especially with those bars. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, she should just shapeshift into Wolverine and claw at stuff. I mean, those seem to work half decent.
Yeah, there's a dozen ways out of this situation. I imagine she's just waiting for them to break her out.
Probably, yeah.
Beast visits Jimmy. His hand turns normal.
Mm-hmm. I like that scene. That was another pretty good, like... The acting, Kelsey Grammer is like, I'm surprised Beast didn't break his fucking ape-like feet carrying this movie on his back.
Because
he's really good. He is very, very, he's awesome. He's like a huge part that like puts this movie over for me. Because even the look of him is just so good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, they nail a lot of the stuff that he does. And like the intro scene, he's like reading upside down, like, you know, Beast.
And it's just, it fits. Like, Kelsey Grammer just fits as Beast. And apparently Kelsey Grammer was just a huge fan of just playing the part. So,
yeah,
he did it real well. Yeah. I don't know if I would say, like, I'm a huge Beast fan, but I really like him in this. You know.
He's not my favorite of the original five, but he's up there.
He's a good character. He really is.
I like Iceman the most. Yeah. Beast has been an Avenger. He's been a lot of things.
Yeah.
He's a very versatile character that I feel like doesn't get used as much as he should in video game media.
Right? It's kind of crazy that he's not in something like Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
He's in X-Men Legends.
Yeah, he's in X-Men Legends, but you would think that, like, I don't know, because I think of Beast as, like, you know, one of the ones that people maybe not know him, but would know him as, like, oh, the blue cat person, you know what
yeah.
I
mean? But Cyclops decides to visit Alkali Lake.
Yeah, he goes Canadian.
Mm-hmm. And uses his X-Men branded motorcycle.
Yeah, he uses X-Cycle, and then he's standing on a rock lamenting the loss of Jean Grey, and then he starts hearing Jean's voice, and then he finally decides he's going to avenge her death by frying the lake.
Fucking show her that water!
Yeah, take that, lake! Yeah.
Be gone, vile lake. Be gone with you.
I will turn you all into steam. Fuck you.
Yeah. He's got Jean arrives though. He's gone mad with power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's got the Phoenix is showing up.
And she takes his visor off and like, it's okay, I got Visine, and it gets the red out and turns his eyes normal.
He was smoking a dank fucking
Yeah, and then she just kisses him, and all life comes out of him, and then the Scott alarm goes off.
Yeah, it's just Professor X, you know, in case Cyclops did anything that was even slightly out of character, like, you know, put mustard on a sandwich, he's like, Scott, Scott, Scott!
Scott, 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 Scott! Everybody!
That would be fucking awesome.
That's the Scott alarm!
Who knew that Little John was playing Professor X today?
Yeah. That would be great.
Okay.
It's like Wolverine. Storm, you gotta go see Scott.
You gotta go. You gotta find Scott, 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 Scott.
Scott, 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 Scott.
Oh, hell.
That's when they hop in the X-Jet, go to Alkali Lake.
Fly to Canada.
Again.
We've been here already. And then they find, you know, they find Scott's glasses, don't they?
Yeah, they find that. They also find Gene.
Yeah.
And yeah,
she ate him.
I guess.
We don't know where he went. He's gone. He just poofed into, like, we don't get any real, like, actual explanation for what happened to Scott. We just see that he got all veiny, and then he was no more.
It was too much excitement. And
it was too much
into...
for him. He turned himself inside out. It was too much for him.
Scott, his people needed him. He died on the way to his home planet. He decided to join the Star Jammers.
He went to go find his dad, Corsair. Yeah.
We don't know. And, like, Professor X tries reading his mind, or reading Gene's mind, or later, and it's like, what happened? It's just a fucking tsunami or something?
Well, it just looks like a water, like the water exploded. We just get very fast, like, I assume it's trying to imply that the same thing happened to Scott that happened to Professor X later. So
yeah,
speak,
or
is what I presume.
I guess that's the only thing that could, like, that would make sense to me.
And, or, like, disintegrated him somehow.
Yeah, it turned him into dust.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I guess. Everyone, yeah. Did you miss him? I didn't.
I could barely register that he was gone.
If it wasn't for the Scott alarm, I wouldn't have known he was.
Nobody would have noticed that he'd left.
Yeah. He will be missed.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even have a funeral for him.
No, they don't. Not until the end. They don't even think about giving him, like, a plaque or a fucking little, you know, one of those little grave headstone things.
Yeah. But yeah, we're explaining that Jean Grey was a Class 5 dual personality.
Mm-hmm.
I just want more of what an explanation of the different classes are. I know what first class is, and I know what Class 5 is.
Well, I assume Class 4 would be people like Professor X and Magneto, and then, you know, fill in the blanks with the other fuckers around, you know.
Class...
Like, I don't know, would Class 3 be like Beast, you know?
I don't know. Like, yeah, what would Class 2 be? Where does everyone fall? Where does Colossus fall on this list?
I would say Colossus probably is Class 4. That guy's fucking awesome.
That guy's the best.
Yeah.
Still not nearly as cool as he gets in Deadpool, though.
Oh, no. But it's cool that he's here, though. That's one of those where if they were going to focus on new X-Men, they should have maybe tried to balance that out a bit more. But I see why they did what they did, because they're like, people like Wolverine, people like Storm, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No,
But it would be nice if they got a bit more. What?
Oh, just that Colossus, when he's in his, like, X-Men battle gear, it's like a vest.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's not, when he's transformed and all metaled up, looks perfectly fine. When it's just like a normal guy, he looks like a European sex pest.
He does. Well, they all kind of do. Like, they all have these weird, like, just leather suits that have to just be sweating buckets by the end of any kind of movement or fight, exertion.
Do you have your Professor X style talcum powder to get into your leather jumpsuit so
yeah,
you can go into
they
battle
got
today?
Tons of that stuff. Johnson & Johnson just supplies so much stuff at the X Mansion.
My mutant power is the ability to produce talc.
Yep. I'm the talcum boy.
It's a class 2 mutant. Production
class 1,
of talc.
Really.
No, talc's important.
For the X Men, probably. You're class 2 in the X Mansion, you're class 1 everywhere else.
Yeah. And you're class 5 in my heart. I love talc.
Yeah. You're a class 5 in my heart. I know what today's episode's called.
Yeah. But the professor, like, they have a whole, like, Wolverine has a whole conversation with the professor, because the professor's like, I'm trying to restore the barriers in Jean's mind. She did a psychic cocoon.
Well, he's just theorizing about why, because he's like, the amount of water that fucking crashed into her should have obliterated her body. And so the only thing that he can surmise is that she must have created, like, a telekinetic cocoon to protect herself, or at least the Phoenix did.
Yeah.
And before.
Yeah, she Yeah, and she like was in stasis, and her hair grew out and changed color. You know how it'd be, psychics.
Well, it's definitely like darker red, but it's, you know, about the same.
Yeah. Oh, it's longer than it was in 2, but yeah. Yeah, no, I'm just having a bit of fun. Wolverine's hair, by the way, looks a little bit
fucking
different.
Fucking gnarly.
Yeah,
it looks
like
a wig. He looks like he's wearing a headpiece.
Yeah, it's like a hat. It's like,
it's really,
I like,
bad. I wrote that in my first notes. I forgot to mention that. Yeah, because like, when you first see him, it's like, holy shit.
Yeah, state of your hair, do you, Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they have a Wolverine and the professor have a conversation as to whether or not it's okay to fucking monkey with her mind like that.
Yeah.
And the professor, like, really, you don't understand. It's an incredible destructive force.
Yeah.
Being of pure id that she called the Phoenix.
Yeah. And Wolverine being Wolverine's like, but, you know, it's Jean. How could you fuck her out? Like, how is that ethical, Professor X, Mr. standing on your high horse wheelchair fucking talking about ethics when you're fucking with some girl's brain? Thought Wolverine. And was as overheard by Professor X.
Yeah. And it's just like, you wouldn't even begin to understand the things that I do. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, this is when the Worthington stuff and Angel flies away to New York. We're just kind of jumping around.
He flies from San Francisco to New York, so that must have taken him forever.
And boy, are his wings tired.
Oh, man. I can't help you in the final battle, guys. I'm exhausted.
And then he flies back.
Yeah, he's like, gotta save my dad.
Swoops in, saves his dad, and is like, this is way too much for Angel.
I'm gonna carry you to New York, Dad.
And then he flies back.
He's like
to
a
San Francisco.
He's like a transatlantic angel.
That's his route.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's time for a prison break. Because mm-hmm. as it turns out, Magneto stops the semi-truck and all the other cars that were surrounding it, and then mm-hmm. breaks them out, and that's where we meet. Is it just Juggernaut and Multiple Man who are in there?
In that one, yeah. That's
yeah.
Well, in Mystique, of course. But yeah, we get to see Jamie Madrox and Juggernaut.
I wish Multiple Man was cool.
Yeah, that bit that they do with him later was really clever. I like that.
Yeah. In the process, yeah, we Mystique kills that guard she's warning to kill.
Mm-hmm.
And but just then, someone shoots, and Magneto, who gets distracted monologuing, it's a whole thing.
Well, he's talking to, I can't remember who he's talking to, and then that guard slowly, like, rouses too, and he aims the gun at the back of, Magneto's back, because Magneto would just assume, like, humans with their fragile bodies, we killed all of them. And then Mystique notices it, and she takes the hit.
Which cures her.
Yeah, she's just Raven Darkholm now. She's no longer Mystique.
And Professor X is just like, well, you're human now. Sorry, thanks for taking the bullet.
Well, Professor X didn't. Magneto does.
I misspoke.
Yeah.
They're both assholes. In this, everyone's an
a little
asshole.
Bit, yeah. Yeah. Well, Magneto, I do kind of like that with him, though, in terms of his, that just ruthlessness in terms of, well, you're not a mutant anymore. Tough luck. I do kind of like that in terms of him being a villain, because it goes into, like, again, he still is a super villain. He is an extremist,
Yeah. Well, and he also shows that he is even though through all of his bluster, he's still, he didn't do the thing in the Statue of Liberty. He had to have Rogue do it. And mm-hmm. that kind of,
Yeah.
Never actually sacrificing himself when push comes to shove.
Well, that's what you got pawns for.
Yeah. Hank talks to the president. It's like, hey, we really shouldn't be curing people without their will. And then the president's like, well, she was an escaped convict and she killed a whole bunch of people.
Well, I think they're talking about the guns that have the cure in it.
Yeah.
I think that's what becomes like a whole thing for people, where it's like, well, they're gonna arm themselves with these mutant cure weapons and stuff.
Yeah, I do think though, like, yeah, it's a prison bus full of dangerous mutants.
Yeah, but then again, we also must remember that this is like much like the whole Marvel universe, the people of this world are really big on like persecution and fucking just shitting all over mutants and hating them and ostracizing them. I kind of feel like the mutant how mutants in this movie react is entirely justified in that regard, because human beings from the government on down have just shown themselves to be fucking scumbags.
Fair. Yeah, there doesn't seem to be
like,
any
why
good
would
people
you,
at all.
Why, well, I do think there's good people, because I do think, like, the president has a point, like you said. Like, it's, like, a difficult issue, but I do, just from the like, a regular mutant, just citizen living your life, having to deal with, like, you know, the prejudices and the hatred of the fucking normies, it's, you know, it would be, like, Magneto saying that, being like, they're going to arm us, and then they're just going to shoot us all and cure us all, you know. You're not going to be you anymore.
Yeah. And it's why I wish they would cut out the Phoenix stuff and just go with this.
Oh yeah, I
think
agree,
this is
but I'm just, that's what I, that's what I'm saying. Like
there's
just little grains of it in there. It just needs to be expanded upon, but you're right with the whole like the Phoenix thing should kind of be its own, like its own shtick really. But again, I also get why they did it. Cause you leave that hanging there and then hanging there in the last one. So you got to pick it up.
Yeah. To that end, Jean wakes up and immediately hits on Wolverine. And
oh, yeah.
Oh, hey, I remember. Our roles are reversed.
Yeah. Salad Boy's dead. Let's fucking get to it.
And Wolverine is like, hey, wait a minute. You're scratching me pretty deep here. Mm-hmm. This isn't you.
Well, it's just a sudden... It's just a sudden turn from the Gene that he knows, you know?
Yeah.
And I think this is the moment where he realizes that, oh, I'm an idiot.
Yeah,
Professor X was
right.
Huh. You know?
Yeah, and she just...
Well, she causes, like, stuff in the whole room to move, and then she, like, throws Logan across the room, hits a wall, and then there's this badass shot where she just causes the door of the room they're in to just boom!
Yeah.
I remember that being just really cool. There's a lot of really... Another thing with this one is, for all the story flaws, there are a lot of really cool set pieces and action shots and stuff like that.
Yes. That 100%. They do a lot of really cool moments. That's why I think that's why talking it through with you, why I'm more frustrated with this movie, is that I think it could be more, and I'm just very disappointed.
Well, yeah, it feels like it kind of just got hacked or just kind of butchered by, like, a studio mandate or whatever. And I also think, like, I don't know this for a fact, but, like, if Bryan Singer had directed this one, you know, maybe they would have, like, done some things differently. I don't know. But it does feel like if maybe they had just hired... I don't know, but I think you get what I'm trying to articulate, you know, because there is, I enjoyed it, you know, just as a kind of a fun ride, but I can also understand as, you know, somebody who is a fan of the X-Men, you know, why this would be frustrating. But on, you know, just as is, if you're not that enveloped in that world, you can kind of turn your brain off and just enjoy the ride.
And Jean goes to the only place that she can think to, home.
Mm-hmm. Yep, go back to that old gray house.
That's blue.
That's blue.
I think.
I guess the grays still live there.
I suppose. They never check in.
Well, they got exploded too.
Yeah. And both Magneto and Professor X go again to the gray house. I like this bit of like the poetry, like they go again, this time under different circumstances.
Well, yeah, they're not friends now, and they look just like one's in the wheelchair and one's like wearing a helmet and that badass, just has that whole badass look about him, you know. And Magneto stations his Brotherhood outside the house, and Professor X only brought fucking Wolverine and Storm with him.
That's the only X-Men he's got.
Well, yeah, we're running low on X-Men. Nobody's graduating.
They're all getting held back because they can't pass mutant phonetics.
Yeah, they can't read. They're not doing it phonetically. Anyway.
They lost Gene. Their entire program relied on that. There's whole classes that
she
are gone.
She had the syllabus.
Cyclops is gone too. Who's ever going to teach basic personal accounting?
Yeah, who are you going to do your tax returns without Cyclops?
That's half of the staff dead.
Yeah, that's true.
Wolverine's a sub.
He's a sub.
What's he going to teach? besides drinking Molsons?
Yeah.
Nobody at this place is accredited.
I did like that later, where it's like in Days of Future Past, where he shows up and he's the history teacher. I love that idea.
So they both try to pitch to Gene, like, Professor X, like, okay, we need to get you back and like just work through your issues. And Magneto is like, no, he's trying to take all your power away and take your individuality, and like eggs Gene on to the point where they have a psychic battle where the house goes up.
Yeah, I think Gene, you know, Magneto kind of pushes her buttons a bit much, and then, you know, when Charles Xavier tries to reach out to her, and you know, that didn't fucking work the last time, so now she's probably filled with a lot of bitterness and resentment. And so the house starts to raise, and yeah, I guess that Professor X and the Phoenix are engaged in a psychic battle, but he gets, like, Magneto gets blown into the kitchen, Professor X is lifted from his chair, and then his skin starts to disintegrate.
Yeah, well, and the X-Men, both of them, try to fight the Brotherhood that's stationed outside, which of those, mostly Callisto and the Juggernaut are the actual threat, because Porcupine Boy's not going to do a fucking
he's
thing.
He's going to do shit, yeah.
Like, man, if they get up close, they're going to get so poked.
Yeah. Oh, man, I hope I can hug them.
Yeah, do that to the Lightning Lady. See how well that works out for you.
Right. I did like the fact that Storm actually got to fly this time. That was nice.
Yeah. Well, they have a fun fight sequence where the house is lifted up, and they're all fighting in the form of the house as it's moving around.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. But eventually, yeah, the professor gets dusted Infinity War style.
Not even Infinity War style. It looks like she exploded him. It looks like she was fucking, like, she watched Scanners the day before and was like, I'm gonna finish this boy. Yeah.
And
I also love the fact that, I'll touch on it here, Magneto, you can tell, still cares a lot about Charles, because when Charles is about to go, he screams in agony, and then he tells off Pyro later.
Yeah, actually, that's the moment I was like, oh, I wish we had more of this from Magneto, because, like, Pyro's like, I could have iced him when he had a chance, and he's like, Professor X, Charles Xavier did more for mutants than anyone in this room will ever do.
Yeah. Like, the fact that he had to die so that Arc Dream can live will be the greatest regret of my entire life.
Which is, like, it's moments like that that I really wish we had more of.
Oh, yeah,
A lot of the times I feel like Magneto just turns into, like, a mustache-twirling villain.
Well, yeah, because that's, like, that's the function he has to have for the plot. But
yeah, no,
you know,
I know, but...
The little moments are nice, though, because they still, like... Actually, Ken, I think, makes him even more of a complex character, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's, like, he's... You can almost think of it as, like, he's so committed to this thing now that it's just, like, we gotta go to war now, because now they found the cure, you know? The war is here, and I'm going to fucking break the San Francisco Bridge so we could fight over, you know?
Yeah, the Golden Gate Bridge, because I can't think to bring boats.
Why would you bring boats? It's not nearly as badass.
It doesn't
have the same effect.
If they all take a boat?
If they took a boat? What is it, Washington crossing the goddamn Delaware?
Yes.
We'll get those limey fucks, boys.
Yeah, so they have a funeral for Professor X where they, I think, brought a duster. They vacuumed him up. That's what he would have wanted.
All right. Somebody get a cookie jar.
And they give him an eternal flame. They have a funeral. Almost everyone is there. I mean, some kids aren't. I don't know why the other kids are watching from, like, a TV.
Probably, I don't know. Maybe it's just too hard or too...
Yeah, I know. That's what I thought, too. But yeah, they have a whole funeral.
I like the little statue they gave him. Not a portrait, but they gave him like a
relief.
Yeah, like a relief with his face on it. Made him look like a president.
Yeah. And the whole death, though, has bummed Kitty Pryde out. Iceman's like, come on, I'll take you down. Because she says, like, oh, we don't get winters here. So they're like, winter. She misses
that. Yeah, something
that.
Like that, yeah. And Bobby's like, well, let's, you know, we can fix this. And So he takes her out to the, what is it, a fountain, and
Yeah.
ices it up so they get to skate, and then Rogue is
Makes.
watching from a window.
Yeah. Well, and like thinks that it's more romantic, even though like Bobby has like done everything perfectly platonically and is just trying to help his friend out, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, even like, human beings get jealous. It's
Oh
fine.
yeah, no, I
And
know.
I still think that, aren't they all still supposed to be kind of like teenagers? I don't know what their ages are like supposed to be, but I get the sense that like, they're still fairly young people.
Oh yeah, no, it's I mean, it's not supposedly the 6 years that's happened in between
Oh
movies.
God, no, I hope not.
No, because otherwise, man, yeah, Rogue should be well and truly graduated.
She should be on the team, damn it. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it'd have to be like a couple of years or so, right? Or like
Something like
1
that,
year.
right? Yeah, maybe. Maybe a year, a year and a half.
But yeah, that causes Rogue to just up and leave. Tell the epilogue. She has to get her bags. Well, no, we see her briefly
We
at
see
the
her
cure.
in various spots because she decides that she's gonna, she's tired of this shit. She wants to be able to,
Yeah,
hold
she's.
somebody's hand, like,
Yeah.
be able to function normally in society. And I did like the bit where she's leaving and then Wolverine talks to her, and he doesn't tell her what the right or wrong or even judge her about what her decision should be. He's just like, I hope you're not doing this for a boy, and so like I like that their interaction, because he's like, I'm not your dad, I'm your friend,
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that, that also makes sense, and yeah, it's more like that, more
Yeah.
stuff like that would
There's
be.
some, there is some heart in here. It just gets glossed over because we have so much
They have
action and so
so
much,
many things
like,
we need
the
to
train
do.
is fucking moving. We gotta go,
The credits are coming soon. Come
Yeah.
on. Yeah.
But that was nice. And I do like the fact, I wish kind of maybe that they had even more interactions, because if there is one thing from the first one that I do like, it was the fact that they had like a not father-daughter kind of relationship, but like maybe a big
Mentory,
brother,
yeah.
sort of kind of relationship like that.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman's still great in this, by the way.
He is great, yeah. Hugh Jackman is always a highlight in these movies,
Yeah,
anytime he
he
shows up.
rarely does a bad performance.
Yeah. Jean and Magneto have a scene together where talking about working together, and Jean threatens him with a whole bunch of the cure darts.
Yeah.
It'll make him an 80s alternative new wave band.
Yeah.
Everyone out there hates The Cure. I think they put out some pretty good songs.
Oh, that's what you were referencing. Okay.
At some, I also have a, my, I missed exactly what it was, but everyone's sitting around. And did they like close the school or something?
Well, I
Like.
guess after, so I guess they're trying to figure out after Professor X died in this just huge shitty way, I guess that they're trying to figure out what they're gonna, even do with the school. And that's when Angel shows back up, because they're like, we should send the students home. Like, we can't. Like, Dream's dead. Fucking Professor X, he got
He
exploded.
got, yeah.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do? He's a pile of dust.
Yeah, got
We only
dusted.
have one full-time teacher.
Yeah. And a substitute who's crabby.
Okay, because I was like, why are they talking about closing the school down?
Well, I think it's 'cause, I think it's 'cause Charles like died, and I guess the student body is probably really all depressed, and they only have one real teacher, so she's just gonna be running around that motherfucker just trying to, teach
It's gonna be a.
economics and
It's time for one room schoolhouse where Storm's
That
trying
would
to
be
teach them
funny.
everything.
Yeah, it's like the little X mansion on the prairie.
I'd watch that.
That would be weird.
But yeah, so they. I think that they try to find Rogue now. Or Bobby tries to find
Yeah,
Rogue.
Bobby goes to like the cure place, and there's a bunch of mutants on the one side who are like, no, don't get the cure, and then there's people on the other side who are just going to get the cure, and
Like, you don't understand. It only makes my fingernails grow really long.
oh,
That's
Lady Deathstrike, yeah.
it. Yeah. Like, please cure me.
Well, again, like, there are probably, just how people are, just like, man, even if this was an awesome power, fuck this shit. I don't want to deal with any of this.
Yeah, there's got to be some, though, that are just like, yeah, nobody notices. Everything's fine. Like, my power's fairly benign. Like, I've seen no. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, they have a Pyro finds him because there's only one Cure Depot in, I presume, New York? It's really hard to say where everything takes place.
I just assumed that it was in San Francisco because this whole movie has a real hard-on for San Francisco.
Yeah, I just didn't figure that Bobby could just out and go to San Francisco,
Why
honestly.
not? Fuck it. It's just to grab the X-Jet, check it for a joyride.
Because they have a whole thing, because Pyro and Iceman, because of fire and ice,
Yeah.
natural enemies.
Yeah. It's fucking like poetry.
Rhymes, yeah.
Yeah.
And Magneto has a whole threat that he gives over to the CNN.
Yeah, I like that. I like that part too. Where he has
Yeah.
the
Like, we'll not be intimidated. We're gonna fight this thing.
Yeah,
And,
fuck y'all. Brotherhood's coming down there. You better watch your ass in Alcatraz.
yeah, Logan sneaks into the camp though. He wants to save Jean
Yeah.
because they're in the woods.
They're in the woods of San Francisco.
Yeah, join because yeah, Magneto's plan is like, join me, break free from your normal life, go with me into the woods.
Into the
You can
woods.
you two can join a refugee camp.
You too can start living paleo.
Like,
Fucking
not all of you get tents, and he fights.
Only I get the tent, damn it.
I get the RV.
Yes.
Like, yeah, you gotta feel really bad for some of these people who are, clearly more powerful than Porcupine Guy, but somehow he worked his way to
He's
the inner circle.
in like yeah, he somehow got up to supervisory role.
Like, yeah, Logan fights a couple of,
Yeah, he fights like Bony Boy, and then he fights Rifle Guy, and then
yeah, Bony Boy, like, I don't know. It seems like that guy would want to get cured. Only thing he does is create bone projectiles. It's
Are
like
you kidding me?
marrow.
That's fucking rad. That is super effective if you want to go around killing people, which presumably he does.
It's only works if you have evil applications.
I
It's
mean, you
not.
know, he can
Yeah.
get it. What's he gonna do? Get a job as an act in Vegas? Fuck that
Yeah.
shit.
Get an
You know?
accounting job.
You know?
Turned straight.
Bony Boy's
Yeah.
gonna be a hitman for the mob. That's how it works.
Yeah. Well, not anymore. He gets
Well, he gets
got.
yeah, Bony Boy. Bony Boy's no more.
Yeah, Bony Boy does not long for this world. And Logan sneaks into the Brotherhood camp, and they get it's Magneto's "Can You Dig It" speech, where he's united all the gangs in
That'd be
New York
great.
City.
Yeah.
Too bad some of them kills him.
Oh yeah, then they're gonna have to fucking chase fucking Cleon and all of them out to back to Long Island.
Yeah, they have to get back to Coney Island.
Coney Island, that's it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
they don't live in Long Island. That would change the whole
Well,
dynamic of
hold
the
on.
movie.
They do live on Long Island, just not that part of Long Island.
Yeah, but Magneto sniffs out Wolverine because he's got that sick adamantium.
It's like a foul fart just wafting in the air. Just like, I think Wolverine's
Hey,
here.
yeah, I can get your scent anywhere. You're not gonna try to convince Jean to do as she pleases and then just
Yeah.
throws him out into the woods of San Francisco.
Just chucks him, and I just wish they like would have chucked him higher. You know what I mean? Just
Yeah.
like really lob that fucker.
Just really send him out into space.
I mean, why
Yeah.
not? He could.
Yeah, you really could.
Here's an idea. Since Magneto controls magnetism, could he control the magnetosphere of the Earth?
Probably.
That's a dangerous man. Anyway.
Yeah, no. Mystique, by the way, has turned coat.
Well, of
Like,
course she did.
wait, yeah, like immediate, like,
I
you
mean,
know.
she got betrayed by one of her closest fr well, not betrayed, but she got left behind by one of her closest friends after fucking taking a bullet for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck them.
And
Turn coat.
well, now they know where Magneto is camping out.
Yeah, where he's presumably amassing his army to begin some sort of operation somewhere, as we will find
I
out.
love the idea, though, that Mystique's like, yep, he talked about this. He always wanted to camp out in Northern California. It's right here.
Yeah, maybe.
Right? Like, sold him out, but it's actually Multiple Man.
Yeah, that was cool. I like that.
Yeah. Their plan, though, is that the Magneto's plan is that he's going to go to Alcatraz, and they're going to kill a little boy.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yeah, they're gonna nip this cure shit right in the bud.
And then I guess that's going to be the start of the war.
Well, fucking war is gonna reach a new point. Then it's gonna enter the second phase of the war.
Yeah, Alcatraz, yep. By the way, means pelican.
Cool. Arlie Ermey is heard here too.
Yeah, he is. Just the voice camera.
Just his voice.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. No metal. Like everyone outfit out in plastic.
Yep. I like that. That was cool.
I did like that. You know what I thought would have been fun? I understand why they didn't do it. If some of the soldiers had fillings.
Oh, yeah, that would be fucked up.
Well, because that's what I was like, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a pretty good idea.
Yeah, he just rips out their teeth and kills them with them. Like,
or even somebody, they have like a pacemaker or something. Or...
Well, it's a soldier, so I presume that he wouldn't have a pacemaker. But yeah, something like that.
Well,
you know what
I mean.
Like he has
if
a couple
he was facing somebody.
I had a broken leg. It has a screw in, you
or
know,
like a
metal plate for
a
the
metal
leg.
Plate or any, yeah, that would. I mean, he really like he is one of my favorites because that power is just so, like, omnipresent. You know what I mean? Like that is a power that is effective almost everywhere.
Yeah, you can pretty much find something.
And it's
that he can
and
use.
It's one of those that like I feel like has a pretty good balance because it's not like he himself is invincible. But that power almost is. Does that make sense?
No. Yeah, you could, like, if you give him, like, a good fucking right hook.
Yeah,
like
theoretically, well, of course, Captain America could, but, like, you know, he wouldn't, I'm probably not wording that at all well, but, like, he's nigh invincible, but he's not unstoppable.
No, like, I could see a story where Spider-Man took him out.
Yeah, or even, like, of course, like, the Fantastic, like, he, that's what also makes him really cool, is that he could fight so many other, you know, Marvel characters, you know, and still be a big threat. That's why I liked, in the Ultimate Comics, when they were planning it out, they mapped it out, they made Magneto the big bad of the Ultimate Universe instead of Doctor Doom, which I actually thought was a really cool way to go about that.
If only if it wasn't for that execution.
Holy shit, man. That. Oh.
I've never
seen. A lot of great ideas.
A lot of cannibalism.
Oh, hell. Well, yeah. I mean, I also do kind of like that, too, because he just shows how fucking warped and extreme he is. But at the same time, that's just so very Ultimate Comics to take it just to 11 for no reason.
It's just.
You know?
Yeah.
Because Magneto in that, he advocates, like, farming human beings and eating them because they're animals. That's how he sees it. We're the superior life form. So.
I just meant, like, the blob eating the wasp.
Oh, that, well, yeah, that happens in Ultimatum. But no, there's a little bit in Ultimate X-Men where, yeah, Magneto talks to, I think, Cyclops or Wolverine about, like, you know, we can farm these people. You know, we can eat them. Fuck them. They're just animals.
Yeah. But, the X-Men, or the three of them now, because Beast joined in, they realize that what Magneto's plan is. They realize they have to stop him. I don't know why.
You don't know why they have to stop Magneto from killing a child?
I'm just like... Like, this doesn't seem like your job.
I don't know. I feel like, you know, Magneto shows up, they probably should show up as well.
Yeah, that's...
Because it's not like the fucking army can do anything.
No. I mean, they try. They do a very good job.
They do try. They take out the pawns, but, you know, eventually
army...
all that metal.
Magneto and his army of jumping mutants.
Yeah, the first wave. They always get taken out the first wave.
Oh, yeah. These are class two. Class two are leapers. That's what they do. They leap.
They're a little bit extra durable. But don't worry. When, you know, once they go down, we'll get we'll send in the heavy hitters.
But we get a big speech. Speech.
Yep.
As they suit up and the new young team of, well, they basically just add Iceman, Shadowcat, and Colossus.
Yeah. And Beast. Beast is there.
Beast is there. Yeah.
So six X-Men, I think.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Not a bad crew. But yeah, they go now. We're to San Francisco, where Magneto is like, "All right, everybody, get on the Golden Gate Bridge. We're going to take this bridge." They bridge their way from to Alcatraz from San Francisco. Yeah.
I like that. That was a cool, that was a really cool bit. And yeah, they just, they literally make a bridge from Alcatraz to the mainland. And yeah.
Magneto hates monuments is really what I came away with.
Oh, fuck yeah, man. You put metal on that bitch, he can fuck with it. He's gonna...
Statue of Liberty, fucked with that.
Well,
you know?
these are images of our oppression.
Uh-huh. But they start their attack, but in a move that Magneto did not anticipate, plastic.
Yeah, those fuckers, they've actually learned something.
They're learning.
No. Clever girl. Anyway.
Yeah. And they just start turning waves and waves of... I don't know how many fucking mutants Magneto had in his employ, but a lot? A lot of jobbers.
It's like over... I don't know. Because, this, you know, army is a bit strong of a word. It's more like a militia, but there's like 80 of them, I'd say.
Yeah.
In total. Because it looks like they have a lot of the cannon fodder class whatevers to... You know, take the brunt of the attack so you can, you know. I mean, he's playing chess. He has a chess motif throughout these movies. He's playing chess.
Yeah, and he uses arc light to destroy their plastic weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it's okay, because the X-Men appear in a big, they do a big descent from the X-Jet. And, like, Storm flies down.
Yeah, everybody has a superhero entrance. And, yeah, Colossus. Colossus doesn't.
Yeah, well, and Iceman falls with Shadowcat.
That was
like,
funny.
They, like, ping-pong through the ground.
Yeah, he's like, never do that again.
Yeah, and so we get a big fight. And, yeah, it just shows how kind of lame a lot of other mutants are, besides the ones that we follow.
Besides the named ones. Because, yeah. Man, a lot of them die. A lot of them get chopped up or electrocuted or just punched.
Yeah.
It's a good fight scene, though. I do like it.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, we had a lot of setup to get to this point, and we're really living with it. But yeah, the Juggernaut comes down, because I guess he's like a knight or a bishop in this. Not an actual bishop, because that's a different guy.
He put on a different hat.
Yeah. The Juggernaut can only move diagonally in this reference. Once he starts moving diagonally, he cannot be stopped.
He can't stop. Yeah.
And, Shadowcat... has a fight scene with him, or more of a chase scene.
Yeah, more of a chase scene, yeah.
He references a YouTube video.
Yeah, that old meme.
Yep, and I do like that we follow him as he's breaking through the walls of Alcatraz, and, you know, she just dekes him by going left, and he was not expecting that.
Well, he couldn't stop. He was, you know, he's going forward. Can't stop the Juggernaut.
Can't stop. Should stop. And, she meets up with Jimmy, the leech boy, and realizes that she doesn't have powers, and they use that to trick Juggernaut into bashing his head against the wall.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
That was good. I liked that, yeah.
That's a very smart way of doing it, because, at first she, like, grabs Juggernaut and pushes him through the floor.
Yeah, but that only slows him down, of course, but, yeah. And Juggernaut not being the brightest, tool in the shed is like, leech boy, and then they just move to the right and he goofs himself.
Yep. Well, because nobody told him that was his whole thing. I don't think he would have listened. Juggernaut, by the way, one of my favorite X-Men villains.
Oh,
high up
great.
There
he's
I have
really
a giant
good.
I have a giant figurine over here of the Juggernaut. That's
he's
pretty,
like,
fucking rad.
He's also like the best fucking character in all of Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2.
Oh, he is so good.
He's so fucking good. He's the only one you should really use.
I don't know why you'd bring anybody else.
I also don't know why he'd be here, but whatever.
No, he doesn't make any sense. He makes more sense than Carnage, who's a character.
Yeah, that is fucking true. Why is Carnage there?
Carnage has no reason to show up to anywhere.
No, he doesn't give a fuck about your Civil War.
Carnage is a serial killer.
Yeah. No, that's very... I was playing that the other day, and I totally had forgotten that Carnage was even in there. And I was like, why?
What the
hell? He wasn't
hell?
Even in the book.
No, because why would he show up? Yeah, well, and actually, most X-Men wouldn't have been there, because
they stayed fucked off.
Yeah, well, because, they're like registration problems first time, am
I
right?
Yeah, I think the only ex-Bishop is the only one who joined Iron Man.
Yeah, the others have like a... five issue, because everyone does, because it's a big
thing.
Well,
it was a big event, yeah. Yeah. So everybody's got to have, like, a little thing, but it was, yeah. Because Iron Man goes there to recruit them, and they're just like, are you fucking high, Tony? Like, are you kidding?
Yeah, which, like, he totally misread the room, yeah.
He misreads a lot of things in that book. You want to talk about people acting like giant assholes all of a sudden?
Oh, God,
Civil
dude.
War is, like... I was rereading that the other day, and I was just like, man, Captain America, like, starts as, like, pretty good, but then he just descends into just giant prick mode, along with Iron Man and most everybody else.
Yeah, it seemed like they didn't have an idea of where...
Well, the problem with that book, and, you know, we can get more on this when we cover Civil War someday in the future, was that Mark Miller came up with that idea to be in the Ultimate books first, and then they were like, oh, let's just do this in the mainstream one.
Well, and in the Ultimate universe, it works, because everyone in the Ultimates is a fucking asshole.
It's a giant
all
asshole.
Of them.
All
every
of them.
Single one of them. It's
oh,
like the
it's
entire
so
Ultimate. The entire Ultimate Universe is just like, what if your favorite Marvel superheroes were assholes except for Spider-Man?
Yeah, pretty well. Yeah, there are a few characters who were like okay, but man, like the best thing about the Ultimates books, like those first two, is the artwork and some of the ideas. I do like the. How they like plot, how Mark Miller plotted some stuff and like kind of got the, it loses its way so fast.
And you know what? And I'm going to say this right here, even though we could probably bring it up when we get to Ant-Man. I really hate that Hank Pym is only ever characterized as being
fucking wrong, man. That really is. Like, that's like the only thing anybody remembers. Like, quick aside too, if we're talking about the wonderful Hank Pym, if you want to see an excellent characterization of Hank Pym, like really good working with the Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes, the cartoon on Disney Plus, phenomenal. I highly recommend it.
It'd be like if only thing we ever talked about Beast was the one time he laughed about Ms. Marvel having like a being instantly pregnant and giving birth to somebody and making all kinds of cracking wise, which is super fucked.
Has that happened?
It did. Captain Marvel got impregnated by a cosmic entity and was pregnant and then gave birth to that entity. And everyone was just like, she woke up pregnant, like 8 months pregnant. And everyone's like, oh, looks like someone's having a baby. Instead of actual honest to God concern that like your friend just became 8 months pregnant out of the fucking aether.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Marvel universe. They see
all the time. And then that baby that she gave birth to, that entity fell in love with her and tried to seduce her. It's fucked.
Huh. There's not many times where I kind of find myself at a loss for words.
I know, right?
But, man, it's like, you keep telling me stuff, and I'm just like, why haven't they rebooted any of this yet?
All this is
canon.
Why does
this have to stay? Why does this have to remain?
Everything that has happened in Marvel is canon in somewhere.
Like Aunt May being Peter's mom. It's like, why did that have to be a thing?
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows, but thank Mark Miller and Joe Quesada. Hats off. Anyway, what's happening in this battle?
Angel showed up. Remember? It's time. It's his time. He showed up. He picks up his dad and he leaves.
Yep. He's going to fly back to Westchester.
My people need me.
Yep.
Iceman fights Pyro.
That was cool. I liked seeing his ice form. Like his whole like.
Because they have like a whole DBZ fight. Where they are one shooting ice and the other shooting fire. And it reminds me, you know, like in DBZ when they're both doing like a Kamehameha back and forth.
Yeah.
And then Iceman unlocks his ice armor and gets him. They have like an idea phase. Yeah, they all like regroup and are like, okay, what do we do? Like,
well, yeah,
we work together as a team.
As a team. Okay, we do something we've never done before. As a team, yeah.
As a team. First
but
time.
They see that there's a cartridge of the Cure ammo on the ground, and that's when Wolverine's like, all right, we're going to turn the tables away. Magneto never expected.
Yeah, and so he charges Magneto, who gets so caught up in his monologuing to Wolverine, misses when he gets stabbed by, like, four Cure darts. They're going to cure the fuck out of him.
Yeah, he's so cured.
He's like a ham.
Yeah.
And yeah, so Magneto is now cured. The rest of the army arrives. And Jean, who I guess is the queen in this situation, if we're continuing with chess analogies.
Yep.
Kills everyone. Like, just picks up all the armies.
Well,
just
she starts,
big...
like, disintegrating everything.
Yeah, turning it all into into dust, and Wolverine, in an act that's reminiscent of the Dark Phoenix stuff, comes closer because he's the only one that can handle the assault.
How did she die in Dark Phoenix?
I
thought she went into his son saving asparagus people.
Oh, yeah. No, okay, it's something else where Wolverine had to kill Jean. I'm remembering. Okay. Like, Jean dies a lot.
Lots of people die a lot. It's
like... The X-Men die, death is a revolving door.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, you just go in and you go out.
Yeah, Thanos knows what he's talking about, getting sweet upon Lady Death, because it's like, she's not paying attention to any of that shit.
Lots a lot of shit slide. Unless you're Bucky.
Or Captain Mar-Vell.
Or Uncle Ben. Uncle Ben, that
Gwen
rice
Stacy,
peddling
though.
Beth.
616 Gwen Stacy stayed dead.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about Spider-Gwen.
No. That's an alternate dimension, so it doesn't matter. Comics are weird.
Well, comics are great. It's a big, wonderful melting pot of ideas.
Yeah, it's an awesome thing, but it's like, if you try to explain all of it...
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of, that's where it gets, kind of cumbersome. Well, that's... Again, I don't want to, shit on the X-Men. It's just the thing that's always, been really hard with the X-Men is that just that dense continuity.
60 years of continuity?
Yeah, it's really hard. And I'm a guy who really does love... I'm a big DC fan. I love reading up on stuff in the different eras, and I'm fine with continuity. It's just... It's really hard to jump into,
Yeah.
Find a spot and... Yeah, I don't begrudge it. I'm not. I don't want to seem like I'm an X-Men hater or nothing. It's just nothing I have the most.
It took me a while. It took me a while. I had to get to. I found my jumping on point, which was the 2001 new X-Men.
Oh, the Grant Morrison one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good spot to jump on. I don't know if there's the Joss Whedon one.
That's famous. Yeah.
That one's very good, and you can just read that on its own.
Mm-hmm. I think the only X-Men thing I've read, but I think the biggest X-Men thing that I read, I think it qualifies, right, is House of M. House of M is the most X-Men-y thing I think I've read.
Yeah, I think it's kind of weird because I always consider Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, even though they are mutants, to be more Avenger people.
Well, they are. I mean, people forget this. They're founding Brotherhood members, you know?
Yeah.
That was what was really cool that they did that, we want to talk about continuity, and we'll talk about this when we get to the MCU later, of course, but, one of the things I do love about early, 60s Marvel was that it has a really solid continuity where, when Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver joined the Avengers, right, they brought up the fact that, but they're supervillains, they're part of the Brotherhood, they fought the X-Men, is this, you know what I mean? I thought that's just, stuff like that's really neat.
Yeah. It's just one of those things. And at this point, you'd really be... I mean, Quicksilver, sure, but, I'm sure more people would think of Scarlet Witch as an Avenger.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah.
I would.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've always seen her as an Avenger. It's just, it's one of those really cool things where you're like, oh, she started out as a villain along with Quicksilver and then, became superheroes, And I always loved the fact that they were, Magneto was their dad. I always loved that fact. And that's another great dimension to the whole relationship.
Yeah. So Jean gets stabbed by Wolverine because the only way to really take care of the Phoenix is just a good stabbing.
Yeah, I didn't know cosmic forces like that could be taken down so easily.
It's not a cosmic force. So, yeah, we've decided to not make it an alien parasite that eats suns.
Yeah, that's
probably
a bit,
for the best.
Yeah, that's hard to get across in a whole movie,
That's why you. Yeah,
I wonder what they do for Dark Phoenix. We'll have to find that'll. When we watch that, that'll be interesting because that'll be the first time either of us has watched that.
Probably nothing good.
Nothing great. I'm not expecting anything wonderful, but it'll be interesting because I think they do go the space route in that one.
Oh, that's neat. Okay. Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah. So now we get a funeral for everyone.
Everyone died.
Yeah, well, all the other ones,
Yeah.
And
well, Scott gets a little memorial, and
they give little dust piles and one casket for Jean.
Yep.
And
I'm gonna hold a casket, yeah.
Well, I mean, she didn't get turned
she
into
dust.
She
didn't get dust, yeah. She didn't, yeah. They don't have to find a
they have a they have a body, so they're good.
Yeah. Yep. And we kind of get to see, like, things have slowly kind of... A normal, you know, a normal is starting to kind of form again, where tensions have lowered, and Beast becomes the UN ambassador, which was really cool. Rogue took the cure, so she and Bobby can fuck now.
Yay!
She finally achieved a dream of getting iced by the Iced Man.
Angel flies around San Francisco.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh,
at the end.
That part. Yeah.
And Magneto apparently does not get to go to prison for his numerous crimes.
I wondered if he was like in hiding or something. Like,
I was like,
if he like had somehow escaped or whatever. Because he's sitting on a park bench. He's in New York City. He's sitting at one of those chess boards that they have. And he has, like, metal pieces, and he kind of holds his hand out, and then that's when it cuts to black. So we get the implication that he might, like, the cure might not totally be permanent, and he might get his powers back.
Which I think would probably be the case, because it, you know, you'd think that's where they would probably go, is that, like, you know, oh, it's only your proximity to Jimmy, so once your body, like, metabolizes it or whatever.
Yeah. Might be one of those things where you'd have to, like, take it multiple times or whatever for it to be like really effective.
Yeah. So yeah, we get an Inception ending with Magneto, and then apparently there's a post-credit scene.
Yeah, there's a post-credit scene. Devin missed it. I remembered. Don't worry, listeners. Dayton remembered. We get to see Moira McTaggart. So Charles earlier was talking about this brain dead guy, and Moira comes in. She says hello to the guy, and the guy turns his head and is like, "Hello, Moira," with Charles' voice, and then cut to black.
Yep.
So Professor X is still alive.
Don't worry. All of this will not be on the test, nor will it matter.
No, it will never be referenced or heard from again.
No, I think, because I was trying to think of Days of Future Past, and I was like, well, is that in continuity with everything?
I think
and,
that they try, like, because it's, like, these movies do not adhere to anything like that. So I think the idea, I think it's formally kind of accepted that it's like, yeah, they are, but don't worry about it.
If you're thinking about it, don't think about
don't
it.
Don't worry
kind of thing.
About it. Just let the, whatever is presented in front of you is the one that matters at that moment. And then if you're watching the next one, whatever's in front of you at that moment, that's what matters.
Yeah. It, much like the, it's very like the comic books in that there's so much continuity and it's really hard to keep straight.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So you could presumably go from like, whatever happens at the end of here to the post-credit scene of the Wolverine to lead into Days of Future Past.
I've never seen the Wolverine.
I saw it once. I didn't hate it. I didn't. Well, I don't remember much about it. I think the Silver Samurai's there.
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen X-Men Origins Wolverine.
I know people probably hate that movie, but I actually thought that movie was fun.
The video game's great. I played
that.
Yeah,
I've heard that. I've heard that a long time. Yeah, that the game was pretty solid.
But yeah, I mean, yeah. As for this, we already gave the rankings.
Yeah. Well, my final note for this is: so I enjoyed it. It's a mess, but a very entertaining one. Some solid set pieces, decent moments, and Kelsey Grammer as Beast.
Yeah, I think. Ultimately, talking it out, my final thought is that I just wish it was more, and I like a lot of the elements that they have, but I wish that they could produce something.
It just didn't come together as well as it could have, because there are a lot of really good, like, solid ideas in here, and a lot that, if it had, like, the runtime of X2, might have been able to work better,
yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is, and my final ranking is X2. At number one, X3 at number two, and X-Men number one at number three.
I got 2-1-3.
Yep, that's what I figured.
This could, and again, we've seen far worse superhero movies.
Yeah,
but it's not my favorite. It's definitely down there. I mean, at least it is more bad as to be entertaining.
It's not fucking monotonous, and it doesn't.
Yeah,
like it doesn't. You know, people act a bit weird, but it doesn't like insult my intelligence ever. And nobody does anything as stupid as fucking Eddie Brock saying he's a great journalist and then breaking into his girlfriend's computer. Like,
God damn.
What the fuck, Eddie? God, you're an idiot. You're an imbecile, and you deserve every bad thing that happens to you. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, like, people are just, yeah, their personalities are a bit rougher around the edges, and it's truncated, but I think if you just go in with, like, I just want to have a fun ride with a comic book movie, you'll be satisfied. That's where
You know, there's not the worst hour 40 you can submit yourself to.
I mean, it's definitely, like, and I know some people are like, like, you know, popcorn flicks are just, like, trash or whatever, but, like, you know, it definitely deserves, like, you know.
It serves a purpose.
It's a Friday night, like, movie night movie, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying, because I know I had seen this beforehand, and I was struggling to remember anything, and I think that's kind of what it is. That's a movie that you watch, you're like, oh, all right, and well,
this one that I remembered the most was, like, the hype around it because of the trailer. Like, this had a great trailer when it came out in 2006. It was really, really effective. So that's stuff like that. Like, because this movie also has, like, lines in it that you can tell are like, yep, that's for the trailer.
The
trailer, you know. But, you know, didn't deter from my enjoyment. But.
Yeah. The next in the series is X-Men First Class, which kind of soft reboots.
Yeah, a little bit of a soft reboot.
We'll talk about those another day. Mm-hmm. We're going to put a pin on the X-Men.
Yep, the X-Men, we took our last stand, and now we are going...
we're sitting down.
Oh, thank God. We're gonna sit in a command module, and we're going to the moon.
Are we?
For the next episode, yeah.
Well, we're going to try to go to the moon.
That's true, too. Dayton forgot history right there. Fucking Apollo 13, that's right.
We're going to attempt it.
Yeah, that's what we're watching next. We're watching Apollo 13 for our 100th episode. We finally get to see what about that goddamn hatch.
The fucking hatch.
The hatch.
The hatch.
To find out about the hatch. We'll be like Desmond in Lost.
Hell yeah. Well, no, Desmond already knew about the hatch. We'll be like everyone else in Lost.
I didn't finish it, so I was just kind of shooting blindly with that reference.
All right. But until then, I'm Devin.
And I'm Dayton.
Thanks for listening, everybody. See ya.
Peace.